Shadow Falls Badlands. The story so far. Maria is dying, and now Galen has made a decision to briefly abandon his journey in favor of finding her a doctor. He is convinced that she's been put in his path for a reason, and his decision to give up his life for her once leads him to believe her survival is key to fulfilling his destiny. After descending into a gorge, he finds a road cut through the forest, one that leads him to a camp. But what he finds on this road appears to be danger. Chapter 16. Hovering barely a foot above the ground, the two yellow beads came swiftly toward Galen, and for the second time that day, he reached for one of the Colts. The thin quality of the moonlight angling through the tops of the trees lining the road was playing tricks on Galen's eyes, causing a strobing effect as the yellow beads vanished, then reappeared, but this time closer still. Galen cocked back the hammer on the gun. His heart raced, thinking that the loud report of a single gunshot could bring God knows what else from the woods. His finger tensed on the trigger, and as he squinted to see, the shape of the four-legged creature became clear to him in the shadow. He raised the pistol and aimed it dead between its eyes and steadied his hand. But something, a bit of instinct, told him to hold off a second until it came closer. Because as the animal trotted into the light of the moon, he could see it clearly and watched it as it padded toward him without even glancing in his direction. He chuckled to himself that it was nothing more than a vagabond mutt walking down the road, carrying a bone. But as it passed, a chill ran down Galen's spine because he could now see that what was in the dog's mouth was not a bone, but instead a severed human hand. Galen rubbed his eyes. "Can't be," he thought. The little voice in his head told him to turn around and avoid the camp ahead, but it was so close, and to do so would be like signing Maria's death warrant. He pushed the horses forward to the end of the road, which opened into an acre-wide clearing. Galen could see dozens of tents, all facing a single cabin, placed on the rise of a small hill. He headed in the direction of a campfire, around which he could see several men standing. Quickly he gained their attention, because as the wagon drew closer, the men broke from the fire and came toward him. One of them, the closest to him, raised a hand for Galen to stop.
"Who are you?"
the man asked. Galen didn't answer his question, but went into a quickly worded explanation of Maria's condition.
"Is there a doctor in the camp?" Galen asked.
"Nina!"
the man called out over his shoulder. Moments later, Galen could see the front door of the cabin open. Briefly silhouetted in the light coming from inside was the figure of a woman. She shut the door and came down the hill toward the wagon, but even as she drew closer, Galen could not see her face. It was not until she approached that he realized she was wearing a hooded cloak.
"This fella says he has a dying woman in the back,"
the man told her. Not even glancing at Galen, the hooded Nana went to the back of the wagon and looked inside. She then turned back to the man who had summoned her and whispered something into his ear. Suddenly, he drew his pistol and pointed it at Galen. The other men who had accompanied him from the fire did the same, raising their guns.
"Get out of the wagon, mister!"
His voice was deadly serious.
"What's going on here?"
Galen demanded, raising his hands. But instead of an answer, the man grabbed Galen by his arm and yanked him out of the driver's seat and onto the ground.
"Don't you move!" he yelled.
And as Galen looked up, he could see the outline of Nana's face as she pulled the hood from her head. She pointed to the back of the wagon and the unconscious woman laying there.
"This woman," she shouted, "is a witch!" "What are you talking about?
screamed Galen as the men pulled open the rear gate of the wagon. But instead of an answer, what he received was the butt of a rifle delivered to his skull with stunning force. Instantly, his head filled with stars, and he felt his arms grow rubbery and weak. And as they gave out under him, he fell face first to the ground. Through the ringing, now braying in his ears, Galen could hear the men as they dragged Maria out of the wagon. He tried to get up to help her, but was too woozy to even move. With all the strength he could muster, he tried again to get to his feet, but his body was unresponsive to the desires of his mind. "Stop!" he shouted, but it only came out of his mouth as a whisper. His head felt as if stuffed with cotton. Two more men yanked him to his feet, holding him up under his arms. Weakly, Galen lifted his head to find himself staring right into the face of Nana, her dark, handsome eyes gazing directly into his dilating pupils. She reached out with a finger and ran a nail along his cheek down to his chin and cocked her head as she examined his face. "Restrain him," she said to the men holding Galen up.
"What about her?"
the man with the pockmarked face shouted as he and the other men held up the unconscious Maria. "Burn her," Nana said coldly. She turned to Galen, who was fading into unconsciousness. "And make sure he sees everything." The splash of water in his face brought him around. His vision was hazy at first, the blow to his head still rung in his skull, as he took a moment to resurface to consciousness. Immediately, Galen was aware of the crippling pain in his neck and back, and that he was locked in a bent-over position. As the fog in his brain cleared even more, he realized his hands were immobilized, and as he tried to turn his head, he could now see the block of wood locking him in place by his neck and wrists.
"Quit fighting, you're not going anywhere,"
the beady-eyed boy said as he threw another bucket of water into Galen's face. As Galen struggled to see what kind of infernal contraption they had locked him into, it occurred to him what they had done. He'd heard that the pilgrims had used the pillory to restrain and punish criminals, and now could fully understand why. From here there was no chance of escape. Bent at the waist like that, it was difficult for Galen to breathe, and when the boy threw another bucket in his face, he coughed until it felt like his ribs would snap. As his lungs stopped seizing and he caught his breath, the bucket boy grabbed him by the hair and pulled his head up where he could see. Ahead, no more than 100 feet away, Maria had been tied to a stake atop a large mound of wood and dried bramble. At the nod of Nana's head, the man with the pockmarked face touched the tip of a flaming torch to the bramble, causing it to ignite like kindling. Within mere seconds, the fire spread to the whole pile. Galen tried to call out, but the compression of his lungs caused the words to only spill out of his mouth. And even as the smoke began to rise, to his horror, Galen could see that not only was she still alive, but indeed fully conscious as well. She struggled against the ropes that bound her to the pyre, her mouth silently crying out for help or mercy, to no avail.
"Witch!"
bellowed Nana.
"Dost thou ask for his forgiveness? We can spare you the agony of a slow death in the flame!"
She nodded to a man a few feet away who raised his rifle and took aim at Maria's head. Galen tried to open his mouth to tell the bucket boy, but when he did, was instead greeted by another onslaught of dirty water. The wood under Maria's feet had ignited, and through the choking smoke, Galen could see her head thrash around wildly as the fire consumed her legs.
"Witch, hear me!"
Nana bellowed again.
I can release you, but you must ask for his forgiveness!
Again, Galen tried to speak and forced his cracking voice out as loud as he could.
She cannot talk! She has no tongue!
But even so, the roar of the fire drowned out his plea, for no one heard it. Maria's mouth opened again as the flames now rose to her waist, licking at her chest and back. Her thick black hair began to curl and ball up on the ends from the heat. And when no cries of forgiveness were heard, Nana motioned to the man with the rifle to lower his gun.
Suit yourself!
She shouted. From his location, Galen could see Nana's face was placid as she watched the flames. Maria's head whipped back again as the fire rose to face level. Her mouth drew open as she struggled for breath inside the burning ring of superheated air. Tears streamed down Galen's cheeks, and he lowered his eyes as to not watch, but the boy with the bucket grabbed his hair once more and yanked his head up, forcing him to see everything. Maria tried to turn her face away from the orange monster consuming her, roasting her flesh. And as she did, her eyes met Galen's, if only briefly. And he could see they were full of hate. The contempt she felt for him was more than apparent on her charred and blistering visage as it vanished moments later in the growing wall of smoke and flame. And as Galen tried once more to avert his eyes, he saw them reveling in a small circle by the fire, their naked bodies swaying to a rhythm only audible in their minds. A circle of undressed men, their hands joined, chanted in low voices as they watched the ritual taking place inside the ring. There crouched Nana in the nude, up on all fours as if she were imitating the attack stance of an animal. Behind her stood a man holding her by the hips, thrusting into her as the other men watched and continued to chant. By this time, they were oblivious to the pyre, whose flames had entirely consumed their witch, its greedy orange fingers reaching 10 feet into the sky. The bucket boy refused to let Galen look away, so he watched, and he wept. The nearly primitive ritual went on for what seemed like hours, as each naked man in the circle had his way with Nana. Though not once did it ever seem as if she were submitting to them. It ended as the flames died, the fire leaving behind what was left of the slumped and roasted figure still lashed to the pole, its mouth still open in a never-ending cry of unspeakable pain. The boy finally let Galen's head drop down as he picked up his bucket and walked away. Hours later, as a group of men cleared the pyre and Maria's charred bones along with it, Galen was surprised by a visitor. It was Nana, once again dressed in her red cloak. She reached down and raised Galen's head by using just her fingertips to lift his chin. Galen could not even bear to look at her.
She had no tongue!
He tried to scream.
How could she have asked for mercy with no ability to speak?
She again ran a finger along his cheek and asked how he knew such a thing, and Galen told an abbreviated version of how he'd come upon Maria in the woods, leaving out the part about his death and resurrection. Before he could go on, Nana stopped him.
Why do you think they cut her tongue out? She asked. A witch cannot cast a spell if she cannot speak.
You're crazy,
Galen said, his voice full of contempt. Though now something in her words bothered him.
Where am I?
He demanded. You're in the camp of the Magus. This is our settlement and you intruded, and I will decide what will be done with you.
Lady, I have no fucking idea what you're talking about. I mean, what state are we in? Arkansas? Tennessee?
Galen asked.
Nina looked at him, her dark eyes examining him closely. Then suddenly she broke out into a braying laugh. "What makes you think, dear stranger, that you are still in the mortal world?" And that's chapter 16 of Shadow Falls Badlands. Just who are these people who call themselves the Magus? And what are they planning to do with Galen? I have a feeling we'll soon find out. Questions, comments, send them to me at shadowfalls@podshowla.com. Big thanks, of course, to Kevin Reeves and Ian Baird for the Shadow Falls Badlands Part 2 theme song, Redemption. Go to kevinreeves.net for more information. Chapter 17 coming soon, I promise. Until then, this is Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov fading to black.
Wake up in a small town, just another day. Last see the sun, the day's begun. Now I'm on my way. So many dusty roads have run down, searching for this place. Well, I've chased the miles and faced the trials, no matter what it takes. Gotta try before I never gave a damn. The anger boils, the gun recoils, spilling blood upon the land. Then I saw the road ahead, man. I didn't like the view, so I turned around, but all I found were deceptions born anew. But I'll church on. Can't take it with me when I go.
Let's switch for mode. Let's switch for mode. Let's switch for mode.